The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Sobero Studios. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Start of a new week, the dawn of a new era. Welcome to this Monday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that Seahawk game yesterday because the game was kind of a bummer. I will share with you, if you didn't have a chance to listen to our pregame show, it was a treat to talk with a local music legend, Mike McCready, the lead guitarist for Pearl Jam. He was the 12 flag raiser and had just a great conversation with him on the pregame show. So I'll share a bunch of that with you a little bit later this afternoon. We got a lot of other news to get to. Let's jump right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
I've told you often that if government and media collude against you and your family and your finances, you should be very, very wary because there are few more powerful forces than government and media. And when they team up, then you should always cast a wary eye upon that. And we are seeing that right now. I filled out my ballot this weekend. And the most important issue, as far as I'm concerned, is $30 car tabs. Initiative 976. We have been getting ripped off for far too long by the most criminally corrupt agency in the history of the United States of America, Sound Transit. They illegally value your car so they can overtax you. If any private enterprise did this, our attorney general would swoop in and file a lawsuit to stop them immediately. But since our attorney general is part of the problem, because he is part of a government cabal that just wants to get as much of your money as possible, that's all they are about. And so now we're up against these forces. Almost every city council has adopted a resolution. No on 976. Newspaper editorial boards. No on 976. Why? Because it would allow the citizens of this state to keep more of their hard-earned money? And it would put an end to illegal taxation of our vehicles? Why is everybody, with the exception of little old me, and I just have one radio show here, why is everybody colluding against us? Seattle Times has a big story about this today. And in my view, the Seattle Times story is a fantastic example of the problem, where in what is being presented as news, which is supposed to be somewhat objective, instead, it is rife with bias. It is essentially a long news story that could have been written by the No campaign. Let me read to you the first four sentences of this story. Jim Hammond likens planning for a big budget hit to awaiting a disaster. It's hard to be fully invested in disaster response until the disaster hits, says Hammond, the program manager for the city of Shoreline. Shoreline is one of more than 50 cities that rely on a fee targeted by Tim Iman's latest initiative, I-976. Beyond the initiative's pledge to lower state vehicle fees and roll back Sound Transit car tab taxes, Iman calls unfair. It also repeals local authority, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what the No campaign has done in all of their TV commercials is they have made this not about, hey, we need this money for good reason. They have been filled with lies. Like standing under the Skagit River Bridge and suggesting that That's the crumbling infrastructure is what brought down the bridge. But it was a truck that hit a support girder that brought down that bridge. It had nothing to do with crumbling infrastructure. They had a state patrol trooper who illegally identified herself as a state patrol trooper. That's not allowed. Can you play audio, Nicole? Because I can't.
No, I don't think I can either.
Oh, our news boss is all frozen up here. That's a bummer. Can you let engineering know?
Oh, they know.
Okay. Oh, you're going to just hear a lot of me until we get this fixed. Lucky you. Okay, so they lied, and they always say, vote no on Tim Iman's I-976. Well, no, it's the citizens' I-976. You know, hundreds of thousands of people signed petitions, as is required by law, to get it on the ballot. But because they're so deceptive, the No campaign, but also the Seattle Times in their news coverage, Tim Iman's initiative, Tim Iman says these taxes are unfair. It's not Tim Iman who says these taxes are unfair. It's every single person I know. I don't know one person. Oh, look, I just got a little news boss here. I don't know one person who thinks that it's fair to tax a vehicle that's worth $6,000 and tax it as if it was worth $10,000. And then, as I said, they've got all these, you know, commercials that are just so deceptive and wrong.
The Skagit River Bridge collapse was a rude awakening. There are another 160 bridges and overpasses in Washington rated in poor condition. That's why I oppose Tim Iman's Initiative 976.
Okay. I mean, it's just, it's so blatantly wrong. But they don't care because they're a bunch of sleazebags who oppose this. And I really mean that. But let's get back to the Seattle Times story. I'm going to praise the Seattle Times in my next story, by the way. But so they talk about how, and the headline, cities try to prepare for potential massive impact if car tab fees slashed by 976. What about families will prepare for the massive impact of getting hundreds of dollars a year back from illegal taxation? Have you looked at that? Have you looked at the massive impact for the middle-class family that might be able to take a little bit nicer vacation with their kids next year if they're not illegally taxed on their car tabs? No, no, no. And then, as I said, fourth sentence, car tab taxes Iman calls unfair. Because, like the No campaign, the Seattle Times in their news section is doing the bidding of the No campaign. And I presume, and I know the people at the Seattle Times would push back mightily against this, but Sound Transit is an advertiser with the Seattle Times, SeattleTimes.com, all of that. And am I suggesting that the news coverage might be slanted? Because, you know, I know for certain that here at Cairo Radio, nobody tells me what to say. Nobody. I'm not sure that's true at the Seattle Times anymore when they're in such desperate financial straits. So they say Iman calls the tax unfair in the fourth sentence. Now, being the investigative guy I am, I actually kept reading the whole article. You have to get down to the 14th paragraph. And studies show very few people read that deep in news stories. In the 14th paragraph, Sound Transit has faced outrage from some vehicle owners over the formula used to calculate its car tab taxes, which overvalues many vehicles compared to the Kelley Blue Book, resulting in higher car tab costs. Buried in the 14th paragraph. But in the fourth sentence, they said, well, Tim Iman calls these taxes unfair. That is very biased and slanted coverage. Taxpayers will vote yes on 976. Stand up. Let's prove. Let's show when government and most media, and let's face it, I ain't like most media, but let's show that we still can stand up for fairness and justice and for our families' finances against an onslaught of government and media collusion. That would be heartwarming. So, yeah, vote yes on 976. Show them all a lesson. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
Well, I was critical of that Seattle Times story. Another one by columnist Danny Westneat was fantastic this weekend. That Seattle is proposing to open up an overnight-only safe lot where homeless people living in their cars can park for the night. Want to know how much that's going to cost? For one lot in the U District that holds 20 to 30 cars, the city has budgeted $382,000 per parking spot. And that means it'll cost somewhere, depending on if they have 20 or 30 cars in there, that would cost between $1,000 and $1,500 a month to park a car in a lot overnight for homeless people. And as Westneat points out, you can get a studio apartment for under $1,500 a month. And the taxpayers are going to pick up the tab, $1,500 for a parking space per month, $1,500 per month for a homeless person's car. I mean, it is pure insanity. And, you know, if private churches want to do this, fantastic, they can. But can anybody explain why and how you and I need to pay $1,500 a month for a homeless person to park? Do you have any idea, Nicole, what we pay to park in our company lot across the street?
It depends on what you get paid by the company, but there's a range. But I believe it is around...
So you have to pay more than me? Is that what you say?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay.
I think it's somewhere like $20 a week or somewhere in that range.
Okay. So in the very sought-after Eastlake neighborhood where buildings are being torn down so they can put up apartments... we're paying about $80 a month so we can have a place to park when we come to work. But you and I mean, think of this insanity. You and I are going to pay $1,500 a month for homeless people to park. And Danny Westneat points out that in Santa Barbara, they have 133 parking spots for homeless vehicles, and it costs about $250 per spot per month, which is one-fourth or one-sixth of what Seattle's going to spend on this. You wonder why I call it the homeless industrial complex? This is a swamp that we're dealing with. And it's, again, they tell us we can't vote yes on saving car tab money. And we got to give them even more of our hard-earned money so we can pay $1,500 per month for a homeless person to park their vehicle. Yeah, this government's efficient around here. They're really good. Speaking of which, up next in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
So you heard in Julian Raftery's newscast at the top of the hour about all the crimes that are going on around here. And she didn't even mention, because it's kind of old news by now, but last Thursday night, Friday morning, there were 3 armed robberies of convenience stores in Seattle. 2 in South Seattle, 1 in the U District. They think it was the same people who robbed them, those 3 stores. Armed robberies. There was a takeover robbery of a burger joint down in SeaTac, where 8 customers were tied up. Eight employees and customers were tied up, put on the ground by somebody with a handgun. They stole all the personal property of the 8 people, the customers and the employees, their phones, their wallets, everything. They took the car keys of one and stole that person's car, and those robbers are still on the loose. An armed takeover-style robbery. In Federal Way, Cairo 7 has the story of how desperately bad crime has gotten there.
Cashier told police he saw a gun, put his hands up. The robber was able to steal cash from the register. Now employees admit this situation has become very scary.
Feeling nervous, bro. Scared too, bro, you know. And we can't carry any baseball bat or nothing for our protection.
Preet Chisal says he's been robbed before twice, thinks the person was involved in last Sunday's robbery as well. But the police have not drawn that link yet. They are investigating.
Yeah, so that's a 7-Eleven store that's been hit twice now in the last week by armed suspects. There was a robbery of a grocery outlet store. They cut through the roof, disabled the security cameras, and used pulleys to pull the safe out. Wells Fargo Bank was robbed Saturday afternoon. And there are no arrests in any of these cases. Here's my question. Where's Jay Inslee? As we descend, we have the worst property crime in the United States of America here in the Seattle area. The worst in the country. We're listed as the second worst among major cities, but so many crimes go unreported. We are clearly the worst in the country with property crimes. We have guns being used. So that would be, by my count, 8 times in the little Puget Sound area since Friday. 8 armed robberies. Where's Jay Inslee? I mean, other than talking about the climate, I haven't heard one word about all the drug vagrancy, all the crime, the property crime, the houses and cars that are being broken into, about these businesses where customers are being terrorized. Where's Mitzi Johanknik, the King County Sheriff, as King County descends into more and more lawlessness? Where's Mitzi's dictatorial chief of staff, Liz Rocha, who makes $181,000 a year? As things get worse and worse under Mitzi and Liz's regime? Where's Carmen Best, the Seattle police chief, as we have all these armed robberies in Seattle? A poll came out this weekend. The 10 most popular governors in America are all Republicans. It's interesting. Massachusetts, Maryland, Vermont, Wyoming, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, Idaho, Texas, Arkansas, North Dakota. Those are the 10 most popular governors in America, all Republicans. What's happening in regions that have Democrat control, like the Puget Sound area, like Chicago, where thousands of people are being shot, like Philadelphia, where yesterday, a two-year-old girl was shot in the back of the head and killed. Somebody busted into her place, shot her and 2 other people, murdered a 2-year-old girl. And that was just hours after an 11-month-old boy was shot 4 times. He was sitting in his car seat. He was hit in the head and the torso in both buttocks, 11 months old. What we're saying is Philly, Chicago, now the Puget Sound area, the areas controlled by the left are descending into more and more lawlessness. Around the country where Republicans are governors, that's where people are satisfied. So anyway, where's Inslee? Where's Mitzi? Where's Liz? Where's Carmen Best? With all these crimes around here. They're working on climate change. Oh, and protecting illegals. That's right. And that is your big lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Going to check the news for you. And then a sad obituary to something that I have loved, both myself and behalf of my family. But it's all over now. The death of girls' sports in America coming up next. Of a sad death to tell you about this afternoon. It's the end of girls and women's sports in America, in the world. It's really a shame. I have three daughters who were all high school athletes. I coached girls for many, many, many years at the high school level and beyond. Not beyond, AAU. In fact, my wife and I were, you know, gender bending is really cool in 2019. Of course, the Monson family, we were the original gender bender couple. My wife was a high school boys tennis coach, while I was a high school girls basketball coach. We were gender benders. And gender bending wasn't cool. But we've seen now the manifestation of the insanity of the radical left. Girls' sports have been a really good, positive, powerful thing for girls. Truly have. Because the stats are very clear. If you participate in athletics or other extracurriculars, bam, drama, your pregnancy rate is lower, your dropout rate is lower, your chances of success are higher, you learn skills, diligence that's valued. But we're now seeing the beginning of the end. Every single Democrat presidential candidate has announced that they support a federal law that would allow biological boys to compete in all girls' high school sports. Now, that is already the rule here in loony leftist Washington. But they want to impose that on the rest of the country. And we're seeing it in so many other ways. You know, where biological boys have won and broken state track and field records back in Connecticut. And on the podium in Alaska. So let me tell you about what happened this weekend. Okay, enough funeral stuff. Bring it down. Let's bring it down, man. Let's see. There's an article in spectator.us. Headline, let's face it, women suck at sports. Now, I don't know if it's supposed to be. I read this, and I honestly had no idea if it was supposed to be satirical. But the whole point was, you know, if biological boys who say they're trans, if they're just physically superior, then they should be allowed to compete and dominate in girls and women's sports. This weekend, Rachel McKinnon won a gold medal and set the women's world record in qualifying at the 2019 Masters Track Cycling World Championships Saturday in Manchester, England. McKinnon is a biological male. Also set the women's world record during the qualifying round, representing Canada. And this person talked to Sky News because a lot of people say, why, this isn't fair to let all these biological boys and men compete against women. Oops, can you bring up my computer here, please? Let me see. That was good. Okay, here we go.
I'm legally and medically female, but the people who oppose my existence still want to think of me as male. They use the language of that I'm a man. And so there's this stereotype that men are always stronger than women. And so if you think of trans women as men, then you think there's an unfair advantage.
Men are always stronger in women at the highest level of sport. In every single measurable sport, track and field, where it's just raw times, or jumping events, throwing events, biological males always are 10 to 12% faster, stronger, farther than biological girls and women. 10 to 12% better. And that's true at all levels, not just the highest level, but, you know, at the high school level. a terrific girls varsity basketball team will struggle against the same school's boys JV or C team. It's just true. So this person says, though, it is a human right to compete against biological women. And Rachel also, well, here's a little bit more from Rachel.
We care about the Olympics. We care about our favorite football club. We care about the Rugby World Cup. We care about sport. It is central to society. So if you want to say, well, I believe you're a woman,
then
for all of society except this massive central part.
Yeah, enough of you. So this is what we're seeing now. Is, and what Rachel said is, the only people who question this are intolerant. Well, Martina Navratilova, one of the greatest women's sports champions in history, says it's not fair. And not only one of the greatest champions, but one of the pioneer standard bearers of LGBTQ rights. Martina Navratilova, when it was challenging to be open and out, she was. And she says it's not fair and not right. The difference between the men and women?
The men's 100-meter record is 9.58 seconds. The women's is 10.49 seconds. There is an undisputable advantage for men in sport, isn't there?
We talk about men being faster than women. We have to be very careful what we're talking about. So the example you gave was at the
In speed and strength sports, they have a 10% to 12% advantage in most scientific opinions.
At the elite level, right? So when we look at the very best athletes in men and women, you see this roughly 10 to 12% gap.
This person has no clue what they're talking about. Yeah, I'll use the politically correct they. It's true across all levels. And so we're starting to see this now in high school sports, and we're going to continue to see it as it becomes more and more widely accepted. And there will be no more girls and women's sports because biological men are more and more every single day competing in girls and women's sports. And that makes me sad. After all the advances and triumphs of Title IX and equality for women, the fact that the radical leftist presidential candidates, that they now want to destroy something that is fundamentally good about youth in America, it's despicable. It's absolutely despicable. Okay, lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show next hour. If you missed our conversation yesterday with Mike McCready, the lead guitarist for Pearl Jam, great stuff there we'll share with you. Lots more straight ahead. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. Kind of a crazy day yesterday with the Seahawks. So our pregame show starts at 10 a.m. And we do it from the CenturyLink Event Center. And, you know, we always ask, you know, tell fans, come on by, hang out with us before the game. We can watch our pregame show. You can watch all the morning games. And get down to the stadium, and the power's out at the Event Center. There was some power grid thing. They had enough, and I don't know if it just affected the Event Center, if they have enough juice at the stadium to, you know, with backup power. I just don't know. But instead, so we have very little time, and we have to scramble and move our pregame show from the Event Center up to the broadcast booth where Rabel and Wyman do the game. And that was, first of all, I work with very large men. You know, Paul Moyer, Ray Roberts, Jordan Babineau, Michael Bumpus, and this, the booth's tiny up there. So we're just all kind of squeezed in there. And then, you know, like I said, we really fun pregame. It was fun talking to to Mike McCready and all of that. But then the game itself, it was a drag. It was just, you know, the Seahawks, they came in 5-1, but then they just struggled in the game yesterday. And I tell you what, that quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, man, Lamar Jackson, he's pretty special. And you can't make mistakes like this.
Four-man rush, quick throw near side to Metcalf. Bobbles the ball. Ball lands on the ground. It's still rolling around. It's picked up by the Ravens. And into the end zone is Humphrey. If he didn't step out of bounds, let's see, did DK Metcalf, did he make the catch and did he go down on a knee?
Yeah, touchdown. And actually, that was the second big mistake that led to a touchdown. The first one, you know, Russell Wilson hadn't thrown an interception all season, and then his first one of the year was a doozy.
Lockett in the slot near side. Blitz is coming. Russell dumps it off. Oh! It is going to go. Coming down the near sideline is Peters. Inside the 30, the 20, he's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. Marcus Peters just put on a Baltimore jersey 3 days ago. I don't think Russ ever saw him. He tried to get rid of the football on the near side to Tyler Lockett. Peters broke on the ball, and he was gone.
Yeah. And so those two mistakes where the two turnovers cost the Seahawks 14 points, and they lost by 14 points. 5-2 record now, but they're going to go to Atlanta next Sunday, and the Falcons are just awful this year. But I'm looking forward to talking with Pete Carroll about where they're at when he joins us on Friday. That'll be fun to discuss. I'm getting so many text messages on the girls' sports. Somebody's telling me that there is a biological boy competing on a local girls. I'm not even going to say the sport. I don't want to attack the kids. It's the decision making that allows it. But lots of comments. This equality in sports, says the 253. Is a great parallel to the participation awards in kids' sports. We're all winners after all. No, I don't see much of a parallel there. Because this is about, you know, what will essentially destroy fair competition. And, you know, girls cannot compete against biological boys. They just can't when it comes to things like sports. So I appreciate all the comments. I'm checking them all out. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And somebody says, 253 again, trans sports needs to be a separate category. Let them compete against one another. To me, that makes the very most sense. But then, only the biological boys would be able to compete. Biological girls who are trans are not. It's all very challenging. Okay, best 15 next.